You are listening to the French Kiss Life podcast, all about living artfully and well. I'm Tanya Lee, your hostess. Let's get started. Hey, friends, how are you? I hope you're doing fabulous. Did you notice that I brought back the old original podcast music? Last week I announced that I couldn't find it. I changed computers and it was lost somewhere in the cloud. And so many of you were upset. I found it fascinating how many messages I received saying, hey, I missed the old intro. What did you do with it? Go find it. So I went hunting in the cloud and there she was. So for now, we're going to leave it as it is. But I'm feeling the need for some change. What about you all? And not just podcast music. I'm talking about life. Sometimes we just need to shake things up. So today I'm going to shake things up by going off script and doing a Dear Tanya episode. I did two of these last month and you all really seem to like them just when I'm answering your questions. And we've been getting a lot of questions in, especially since last week's podcast, where I talked about the number one killer of charm. Spoiler alert, the number one killer of charm is our need to be liked. And I got a lot of questions in, so I thought, you know what? I'll just do a podcast episode to answer these questions. So let's dive into the first question, which is from Jill. She wrote in, hey, Tanya, I loved your podcast about charm. What advice can you give to someone like myself who is shy and introverted? It's so difficult to feel charming when I'm afraid of putting myself out there. Jill, this is such a great question. And I think we need to start off by differentiating between being shy and being introverted, because these are very two different types of people. And while their behaviors tend to be very similar, such as spending time alone or limiting their time spent with big crowds, the thoughts driving the behaviors are very different. An introvert becomes drained after spending a lot of time with other people, and therefore they enjoy spending time alone. However, a shy person wants to spend time with others, but is afraid of social disapproval or being judged. So it's important that you understand if you're actually shy or introverted. And maybe you're a little bit of both. So how do you know? Well, look at your reason for spending time alone and ask yourself, do I like my reason? So for example, if you're spending time at home alone because people stress you out and they're exhausting and draining, you probably like your reason because it feels like you're taking care of yourself. It feels like self-love. However, if you're spending time alone at home because you're afraid of putting yourself out there, you're afraid of people rejecting you or being judged, do you like that reason? Probably you don't. You know it's not a good enough reason to sit at home when actually your soul is craving being around other people. And when you think about introverts in relationship to social skills and charm, introverted people are incredibly charming. In fact, these are the people that tend to have great listening skills. They're very observant. They're really good at deep talk. The issue, however, is that too much of it, too many people, too long of periods really, really drains the introvert. So these are the people that often have to step outside at a party just to re-energize, to refuel themselves. Whereas the shy person may step outside at a party because they're too afraid to go in and actually connect to talk. They're too afraid to be rejected or to be judged. So again, the behaviors are the same, but the driving force, the intention, is very different. So for you, Jill, perhaps you are introverted, but I want you to understand that introverted people are typically very charming, or they can learn to be. However, you are also shy based on what you said about you being afraid to put yourself out there. And that is something you can do something about. And that's going to require that you, number one, look at what you're afraid of. What are the thoughts in your head that's creating this fear when you're around people. I suspect it's thoughts like, they may judge me. I don't belong. I'm not good enough. And it's really important that you understand when you think these thoughts, that is what drives the shy behavior. So if you want to change the behavior, you literally have to create a new image of yourself. Because if you have an image of yourself that includes you being shy, it is going to be so hard to show up in a room full of people and deeply connect. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you've been shy for 40, 50 years. You can change your own self-image. Really think about who you would love to be in a room full of people. I want you to envision her, imagine her. Think about what she thinks about. Where does she focus? How does she walk through a room? Create your ideal social image in your head. And then the work is to begin to practice her. Just like if I've handed you a script and I've said, okay, Jill, you are playing this amazingly outgoing woman who is a socialite. Now go practice being her. It will be uncomfortable at first, especially if you are used to playing the shy character. But imagine practicing her over and over and over. If you think like her long enough and you do like her long enough, you eventually become her. And so that is the work, to transform yourself from shy to outgoing. And maybe your ideal self is not a socialite. I just want you to begin to think about, what is the self-image that I want of myself when it comes to social situations? Now, I'm keeping it on the topic of charm, but I want you to keep in mind that you can do this for your entire life. You get to decide who you want to be, if you want to be shy or outgoing, if you want to be wealthy or poor, if you want to be beautiful or ugly. You get to decide all of it based on how you think about yourself and how you see yourself. It is all a decision, my friend. So decide on purpose who you want to be as a woman in social situations. And then it just boils down to you practicing being her until you become her. Okay, next question is from Stephanie. She writes, Dear Tanya, your last podcast about the number one killer of charm really hit home. I am notorious for wanting to be liked and ignoring my own needs. For example, I have a wedding of a family member coming up in the next few months. I feel like I have to go, but I don't want to because I've gained so much weight. I'm embarrassed and humiliated at how big I've become since my family last saw me. Plus, I'm tired of doing what I think I should do. What do you think? Should I stay or should I go? Okay, girlfriend, we need to clear up some things with this question so that you can get a very clean and clear answer. Because you got several things going on here. Number one, you said, I feel like I have to go. You don't have to do anything. I get this so often from women. They're like, I have to take care of my children. I'm like, no, you don't. There are some mothers who have chosen not to. Or I have to go to work. You don't have to go to work. And so telling ourselves we have to do something is very disempowering. I want you to own, I choose to go, or I choose not to go. But don't tell yourself this story, this lie that you have to go to a wedding, because you don't. It is a choice you get to make. The next thing that you really need to look at is this story and this fear around your weight and its impact on your decision. Because what I know is if you keep making decisions out of fear, you will keep creating fear. And this is definitely to not go because of your weight is a fear-based decision. And it's you hiding out in your own life, which honestly often drives us to eat more and to gain more weight because we literally try to hide behind flesh, which never, never works. And so I want you to really look at the story that you have around being embarrassed and humiliated at how big you've become since they last saw you. That's what you wrote. To make a good, clear decision around whether you should stay or you should go, you got to clean up this fear. Because is that a reason that you like to not go to this family member's wedding? And I'm just going to assume that it's not a good reason simply because it's based on fear. So I'd like to invite you to really look at what thoughts are creating the humiliation and the embarrassment. Because it's not your weight. It's the story you have around it. It's the story you have around what you think other people are going to think about it. So if you could clean that up and you could feel any emotion at this wedding with the body you have right now, how would you want to feel? And if you could feel that way, and you can by changing the story in your head, would you then want to go? So for example, if you could feel so much joy, so much love, would you want to go? Because right now what you're doing is you're considering not going because you don't want to feel embarrassment and humiliation. But here's the thing, Stephanie, you're the one creating that in your head. So you could feel something completely different if you chose to. Now, if you go to this wedding and you're projecting onto everyone else what you think they're thinking based on what you think of you, then it's going to be an issue right now because what you think of you is not loving. It's not kind. So of course, when you look around at everyone else, you're going to think, well, they're thinking the same thing I am, which isn't true. So you got to clean up your story about you. You have got to want you. You have got to love you. So that when you walk into these rooms of people, you know what? They can think what they want. Because you are your own best friend. And then when you get to that place, you can make much cleaner decisions. You can be like, you know what? Do I really want to go to this wedding? What feels like love? And sometimes the answer is to go, and sometimes the answer is to stay at home. But right now, trying to make this decision where your mind is just going to create more fear because we're not looking at what's really happening. And what's really happening are these terrible thoughts about yourself in your head. So when I'm feeling torn about decisions, I have to clean up my thinking first. And then I love to ask myself this, if I were going to be insanely happy and successful with either of these options, what would I decide? And a really great thought for you, Stephanie, is if you were at your ideal weight, would you want to go? I really think that that is your true answer because right now you're allowing that to hold you back. And what you have to understand, being at your ideal weight does nothing. Your weight, your body size is neutral. The only thing that changes is the story in your mind. And guess what? You don't have to wait until you're at your ideal weight in order to change your story. So really think about that. If you were already at your ideal weight, would you go? I really feel like that is your answer. Okay. Next question is from Elena. She writes, Dear Tanya, thank you so much for the podcast. I often listen to an episode more than once just so it sinks in. Your last one about the number one killer of charm was incredible. I really want to become a woman who doesn't concern herself with being liked, but I keep wondering if it's unhealthy to not care about what others think. What are your thoughts? Elena, I think it's so healthy to not care about what other people think. And here's why. We often think that if we don't care what others think, that we'll stop being kind and caring people. But I have found the opposite to be true. The less I concern myself with what others think, the more kind and caring I am. And why is that? Well, when we are so overly concerned about what other people are thinking, we often try to manipulate others in order to change their behaviors and their perceptions so that we can feel better. And that's not caring. That's actually really deceitful if you think about it, right? However, what I have found is that when I focus on the only thing that I can manage, which is what I think, I can allow others just to be who they are and not need them to behave in a certain way in order for me to feel good. And isn't that the most loving and healthy way to be? Really think about that. Deciding on purpose who you want to be and then allowing everyone else around you to be who they need to be. And yet often what we're doing, we're so overly concerned with being liked that we're becoming different versions of ourselves depending on what groups that we're with. We are trying so hard to change people's perceptions and their opinions in order for us to be liked. But no one can create your feeling of like. Really think about that. Your feelings are being created by thoughts in your head. So what if we just cut out the middleman, which is other people, and just went straight for creating the feeling that we want, that feeling that we think we'd have if the whole world liked us? What if we just gave that to ourselves? And then think about how healthy that would be, how much more functional the world would be if we all came from that place. You know, sometimes women will say, well, don't you care what your daughter thinks? Or what about your community? And what I always say is, I cannot control what you think of me. I can't control what my daughter thinks of me. I can only ever control what I think of me and what I think of you. And anytime I step outside of those two factors, I get myself in all kinds of drama in my head. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for you. So I believe that the healthiest thing you can do is to mind your own business. And I think about what Byron Katie says. There are three kinds of businesses: your business, their business, and God's business. What they think of you, none of your business. What you think of them, what you think of you, now that's your business. And I find that staying there is the healthiest and most caring place to be. Next question is from Sandy. She wrote, I'm craving friendship, but I have this belief that people don't want me around, so I don't put myself out there. It's terrifying. How can I get over this? Well, Sandy, of course it's terrifying, my friend, if you think no one wants you around. Who wants to walk into a room full of people with that belief? Makes it super hard to connect. It makes it super hard to make friends. Because when you think no one wants me around, I want you to notice how you feel. Probably anxious, maybe fear, terrified. And when you feel those types of emotions, how do you show up with others? You probably avoid it like the plague, right? So then what ends up happening is you prove that no one wants you around because you don't allow yourself to be around people. And I want you to see that you're the one that's creating all of this based on this belief. You know, I used to have a similar one, and it was more around, I'm not interesting enough, or I'm not smart enough. So whenever I would feel that, of course, I'd feel anxious and afraid. And so what I'd end up doing is proving that thought true based on how I was showing up because of that belief. And oftentimes what we try to do is we try to learn new behaviors or social scripts to try to appear to be more confident, to try to appear to be better with social situations. But what I know is if you have these underlying beliefs, they are impacting your ability to deeply show up and connect with other people. And so you have to really challenge it. Is that true that no one wants you around? And if you believe that your thoughts are creating your life, and they are, why would you ever choose to believe something like that? That is like hanging on to the rope while the boat is dragging you underwater. I talk about with my clients a lot about the learning to ski analogy. If we fall down and we just keep hanging on to the rope, hoping that we're going to jump back up, but simply based on physics, that's not going to happen. So we're taking on water. It's painful. It doesn't help us. And so when you hang on to a painful belief, it's like hanging on to the rope. You're taking on water. Let go, my friend. Let go of the rope. But isn't it funny how we want to hang on to our suffering? We want to hang on to our misery. We want to hang on to a self-image simply because it's comfortable and it's known. Some part of you likes this belief, or you'd let it go. Some part of you likes the ability to use this as an excuse not to show up. And usually it's that part of you that's afraid to put yourself out there, that's afraid of the discomfort. So we keep on believing these BS thoughts about ourselves that aren't true. And what I've discovered with learning to be better with people it really comes down to learning to be better with ourselves. So when you think no one wants to be around you, the deeper question here is, do you want to be around you? That's where your work begins, because how can you expect others to want to be around you when you don't want to be around yourself? But when you start wanting you, when you start wanting to be around you, what's going to happen is you're going to stop needing the world to want to be around you. And that's when you show up with an amazing presence. It's that I want everything for you. I need nothing from you because I'm over here giving it to myself. I want to be around me. That is such a charming and captivating quality for a woman to have, to be in love with her own company. And what you'll notice is that when you do that work, when you really love your company, other people are going to love it as well. And if anyone comes along who doesn't, it doesn't matter, because you are giving yourself what you need. You are stopping the toxic cycle of needing the world to approve of you and admire you and to give you what they can't give you. Because what we're always after is a feeling. So for you, Sandy, how can you give yourself the feeling of belonging? Because that is no one's job but your own. And that's actually good news, because now you got your power back, my friend. And the way to create a sense of belonging is to tell a story of belonging, to become a woman who really wants to be around herself. Then everything else is just icing on top. Okay, so I have one final question that I can get to today, and this one is from Charmaine. She writes, how does a woman make herself more attractive? I'm in the dating world and I want to feel that I'm doing everything I can to attract my ideal guy. Thank you for your thoughts and your advice. Okay, Charmaine, I love this question because we as women, we tend to think our attractiveness is all about our looks. And so a lot of times we pursue looking attractive without focusing on where true beauty comes from, which is within. But now I'm not going to be so self-help and woo-woo to say that looks don't matter either. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and I believe how we take care of ourselves and how we present ourselves to the world is part of our spiritual practice. So for you, Charmaine, in thinking about how to make yourself more attractive, I think it really boils down to you being attracted to you. Are you a woman who is attracted to your being, to how you're showing up? Are you thinking attractive thoughts about yourself and about others? I think being attractive is deciding on purpose that you're going to live in a beautiful state no matter what. It's about being more playful in conversations. It's about appreciating your life and appreciating this moment and everyone who is in it. And again, I think it's about you being attracted to you. Because if that is what you're wanting someone else to feel towards you, it's your job to feel that towards yourself. So what can you think and do in order to feel attracted towards yourself? And really think about the question, would I want to date me? And if your answer is no, that is a beautiful opportunity to dig deeper and figure out why and to change that around. And if your answer is yes, then rock on, sister. Go out there and do your thing. Have a great time using other people as an excuse to date yourself. And when you approach dating from that energy, the right guy will come along. And when he does, he's simply going to be the cherry on top, because you're going to be a woman who is creating your feelings on purpose. You're not waiting for some guy or something outside of you to give you what you want, which is always a feeling. And then you're going to have a partner who is a great addition to your already amazing life. This is a person who doesn't complete you, but enjoys life with you. And that's a big, big difference, my friend. Well, there you have it. My A's to your Q's. If you have a question that you would like for me to answer on an upcoming Dear Tanya podcast, just head on over to Instagram or Facebook at Tanya Lee and let me know. Or you can simply visit this post on my website and leave me a question underneath the comments. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next podcast.